we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. The monologue a moment ago, if you want to comment on that, I'd love to. If anybody out there, by the way, knew of or had interacted with Ralph Puckett, I sure would love you to text something in and say something about it. If you had knowledge of him before, yeah, let me know. But he absolutely was a legend. I have to say was now because he passed away yesterday, obviously. But the guy was literally, what I'm told, one of the most humble and yet inspiring men. He was unassuming. He's the kind of guy who, despite all the things he had done, he would give you the shirt off his back. Everything that I'm told is his love, his passion in life was not just the Rangers, but was to be there as a mentor for young troops. And he just saw that as his calling, his passion, I guess. Anyway, they need to make a movie about his life because, gosh, the guy's been there. A Medal of Honor, a Distinguished Service Cross, multiple Silver Stars, multiple Bronze Stars, multiple Legions of Merit, 5 Purple Hearts. Good gosh. They don't make them like that. Jeff from Indiana says, you texted back to Jeff from Indiana. Jeff sent a picture of the eclipse his friends took in Jasper. That is a very cool picture. Wow. Look at that one.
Look at it closely.
With birds flying by. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yep.
Wow. That is way cool. It looks like it's falling apart or something because all the birds in the air.
Looks like an album cover or something.
It does. There are going to be album covers using these pictures. What do you mean?
I bet.
Guarantee you. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. I was not shedding any happy tears last night because Purdue got demolished by UConn, so I did not win a local prize package. But hey, I still got my Right Side Ruffian t-shirt that I won for coming in first place in the Right Side Radio College Pick'em Challenge. Yes, you did, John from Huntsville. Yes, you did. And we got some new t-shirts coming out pretty soon, so we'll have to talk about that. Morgan from Fort Myers says, rest in peace, Colonel Puckett. He said, my takeaway from that is that we shouldn't waste time doing what's on our bucket list because you never know when things or people that are on it are going to be gone, and you don't know when your last day is, and I want to try not to miss any more of the things on my bucket list. I had bands I wanted to see, and the members died, and now that opportunity is gone forever. I want to try to not miss any opportunities before it's my time to go. Morgan, you nailed it, man. That was really part of what I was about to say, too. Thank you for segueing for me on that. I was literally thinking, everything I'm told is he was an extremely approachable person. I mean, you might go down there and just find him sitting at, you know, Waffle House having a cup of coffee. I mean, he was not unapproachable. He was not unattainable. And he was literally right down the road. And I look back now and go, why did I not see if I could find a connection and just introduce myself one day so I could say that I did? Anyway, but Morgan, you're right, man. If it's on your bucket list, it's because you've got a desire to do something, and to the extent you can, do it. Chris from Gadsden says, so you join the Army, go to Ranger School, and don't bother to meet Colonel Puckett? Thanks, Chris. Next thing you tell me is you never went to Piedmont to see Desmond Doss. I did not, but I also did not know that Desmond Doss was in Piedmont until he passed away. So there. How do you like that? You know what we're talking about there? That's the guy that the movie, what Ridge? Hang on a second. I just forgot the name of the movie. Oh, someone's going to just crush me now with the name of the movie. But Desmond Doss, he's a World War II veteran, saved a lot of lives battling in the Pacific. And Hacksaw Ridge. Is that it? Hacksaw Ridge? Anyway, but he lived right down the road in Piedmont. Nice. Just salt of the earth. People didn't even realize his story. His story was epic. He was also a conscientious objector because of his faith, couldn't carry a rifle. So they let him become a medic. And good Lord, man was the heat.
Yeah.
Allie from Athens says, I'm sorry for your loss, Colonel, and I've been stung myself by the pain and regret when it comes to the bucket list. Just remember, you'll get your chance again when you see him face to face on the other shore. There you go. Said, I'm sure he'll be one of the ones that welcomes you home. Wow, Allie, thank you for that. And then Ken from Harvest says, for Taco Tuesday, how about we have the Taco Bell Chihuahua? Yo quiero Taco Bell.
I don't know, though. That's Taco Bell, not Taco Tuesday.
Yo quiero taco right side. All right, we'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, this one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Couple of quick texts, and then I'll jump right into dipper number one. Raven from Russellville, he says, Colonel, my bucket list is pretty well complete, but my oath never expires. I hear you, brother. Stay in the fight. Chef Ben from Oneonta squared me away. It was Hacksaw Ridge. Yes, that's the name of the movie, Hacksaw Ridge. It's going to have to be on your watch list now. It is probably one of the better movies of the last 10 years for portraying a true life character and doing a great job of doing honor to who he was.
When was the movie made?
Probably in the last 5-6 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty new. But it's a World War II true story. Medal of Honor winner Desmond Doss, Alabama native, Piedmont. He was from Tennessee originally. I just didn't know that he had moved down to Alabama. Anyway, first thing out the gate, man, we're going to do our recurring theme of making sure you know what's happening in and around and amongst you. Looking in your own backyard sometimes is just as important as looking out front. I'm just going to tell you right now, what happens in your state sometimes can make more of an impact upon your life than what happens in D.C. or some foreign government. So that being said, we like to cook up a batch of what we call home fries. Oh, yeah. Just cooking them up, man. Listen, I just saw a story. This is not even in my stack, so I can't rattle the paper. But it's right now. It just came out in the last little bit here while I've been on the air. Secretary of State Wes Allen for the state of Alabama, who has been on the show multiple times, he has apparently just notified the National Democratic Party that they run the risk of not getting Biden on the ballot. This could get really interesting. I mean, I look at it and go, no, come on. What are we doing? And he's not trying to keep him off. What's happened is this. The law of the state requires him to, you know, have a cutoff date for the ballots. And we have to have certified candidates certified by their party as being certified to the ballot for him to then print the ballots and have them ready for the elections. So it appears that the cutoff date is going to be August the, I think it's the 15th. And yet the Democratic National Convention is currently not even scheduled to convene until August 19th. In other words, they might not have their candidate officially, you know, confirmed at the convention. I'm looking at that going, wait a minute. Surely to goodness, somebody in the National Democratic Party had their act together enough to know that there's a deadline for doing this kind of stuff. It's not like we're going, we just don't like Trump, so we're going to decertify him because of insurrection and things. No, this is like our state law says, look, you got to have it to us by a certain date. And Secretary of State Wes Allen has made it known, quote, it has recently come to my attention. The Democratic National Convention is currently scheduled to convene on August 19th, which is after the state of Alabama's statutory deadline for political parties to provide certificates of nomination for president and vice president. He wrote this letter to the chair of the Alabama Democratic Party. He said, if this office has not received a valid certificate of nomination from the Democratic Party following its convention by the statutory deadline, I will be unable to certify the names of the Democratic Party's candidates for president and vice president for ballot preparation. Wow, that's just crazy. He cites the code. It's found in 17-14-31B. You have to have your candidate certified no later than 82 days preceding the election to allow time for the formation and printing of the ballots. I've never heard of this before. I mean, I've heard of the deadlines. I've never heard of a national party just going, yeah, we'll get to you. Hey, just hold the door, man. We're coming. No, it doesn't work that way. This train's leaving the station, dude. So we'll wait and see what happens. But I'm just going to bet that either A, there's going to be some mean. I mean, listen, truthfully, Biden's not going to win this state anyway, but he can't not be on the ballot. So there's going to be something that happens. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if there's going to be a resolution of the state legislature while they're still in session, or there's going to be a shifting of the calendar dates by the National Democratic Party, which would be more appropriate. I don't know. All I know is the Secretary of State in Alabama is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He is following the statutory law. Take note, Pennsylvania and all you other states that gerrymandered your rules and laws last time. The Secretary of State has no legislative authority. It's going to be our state legislature has to act, or the Democratic National Party has to do their job and do it right and get it in on time. Whew, there's that. All right, home fries, keep on cooking. You ready? Here's one for you. A bill, right now, in the Alabama legislature, has been filed by Representative Shane Stringer from Citronelle, Republican, to prohibit financial institutions from collecting financial transaction data specific to firearms and ammunition. What did I just say? So there's a movement afoot. In September of 2023, just this last fall, a group called the International Organization for Standardization. And believe it or not, there's these organizations out there that you have no idea the impact they have on your life. So this group called the International Organization for Standardization, I mean, it sounds like something out of a movie, like something from, you know, some dystopian movie about Big Brother. The International Organization for Standardization. Big Brother shall give you what you're allowed to say in Newspeak. Anyway, their job is to assign the codes that credit card companies use to track purchases. And oh, by the way, in the world of ESG and liberals who find ways to screw with our lives, they determined it would be necessary to take firearms and ammunition out of the standardized coding of sporting goods and create a separate code. Why would they do this? So we can track firearm sales. Why do you want to track firearm sales? Well, we just need to know. Do you now? Yes. Well, there's this thing called red flag laws that liberals love right now, where they're allowed to go ahead and say, we don't like Wade Lux. Somebody said he was crazy. His ex-wife reported him. Okay. Red flag. Now we got to take your guns. How do we know if you have guns? Because we have a credit card purchase that shows you bought them. So gun rights advocates have been opposing this, obviously, and I thought we got it stymied. But several states have now passed a bill in their own state legislatures to prohibit banks in their state from using these codes for the very reason that establishing gun lists is considered bad form. It's a risk to the Second Amendment. Well, we now have a bill in the Alabama legislature. Now, here's the thing, though. It's been dropped in pretty late. I'm always a little suspicious of bills that get dropped in past the halfway point, because if it was important, why'd you wait? I mean, every once in a while, something comes up. You're like, oh, we didn't see that coming. We got to deal with that. I get it. But we saw this coming last fall. So I have to question, why is this bill just for show? Hey, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't have time. I dropped the bill in, couldn't get it moving. Oh, well, you waited to the middle of the session to do it. Either way, now I'll say this. Representative Stringer, he's the real deal. He's the reason he carried the bill that gave us a permitless carry. So we're a open carry / permitless carry state now because of partly because of him. So there's that. Keep an eye on that bill. I'm curious to see if it starts moving. If it gains traction real quick, we'll know that it was legit. Okay, here's a story, though, that makes me mad. Just ticks me off. So we got a situation right up here in the north part of the state, Madison County. A man was arrested just last week on the murder of another man from last fall. So in November of 2023, Huntsville PD responded to a shooting victim on Cobb Road. When they got there, they found a guy named 33-year-old Francisco Ramirez, who had died from gunshot wounds. Upon further investigation, they determined to issue a warrant for the arrest of a guy named, where's his name? Hang on a second. Walter Escorcia Gomez. Walter Escorcia Gomez. So Gomez was just found. How was he found? Well, because he was in another fight involving firearms. And in this particular fight, Gomez apparently got the crap beat out of him. And when police arrived on the scene, He was recognized as a murder suspect from that last November shooting of Ramirez. I know you're already questioning it. Hey, Phil, is he here illegally? Yes, apparently he is. So now we have a guy who's here illegally, who was involved in a shooting last November in Madison County. A man died. Oh, by the way, he had a firearm. He's here illegally. How did he get it? And then next thing you have is he's involved in another altercation that requires police intervention. And he's arrested on those charges. And it was just announced that within days, the Madison County DA intends to drop the murder charges. Why would this be? Well, they've now ruled it self-defense. They said that the witness statements and apparently a surveillance video have made it appear that it was actually a self-defense issue. Oh, so he and Ramirez both had guns, and they were in some kind of a standoff. Ramirez pulled his gun first, but he wasn't very good with it. So Ramirez died when Gomez pulled his own firearm in self-defense. So you got an illegal alien, I don't know about the dead guy, but you got at least one illegal alien in a gunfight who prevails and then gets arrested after another fight in which he gets the crap beat out of him. Police are having to respond to this guy left and right. He's now been arrested for murder, but they're dropping the charges. What I want to know is what happens to the ICE detainer? Is he being turned over to ICE? That's what I want to know, because there is an actual, I've seen the picture. The mugshot with the ICE detainer is out there. Are they going to detain him? I want to know what the Madison County DA is going to do about this. Is the Madison County DA going to turn him over to federal authorities? If not, why not? I think this is a bigger story. I think this thing does not need to just poof, go away like too many of them do. What's the deal with this guy, Escorcia Gomez, who was in a gunfight as an illegal alien, got into another fight as an illegal alien while warrants were out on his, for him, is detained, and within 48 hours, he's being released. This, the whole thing is just shady as all get out. So that just happened. I pulled that story off of WAFF.com. You can find it. The story was datelined today, as a matter of fact. So we'll see where that goes. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got a couple of things. And then top of the hour, we're going to do a refresh as a part of our home fries on what's going on with that bill in which they would wind up charging you $10 extra for a prescription. What? Yeah. We'll square you away here momentarily. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, making common sense like a superpower, which I still contend is a fresh phrase that I made up myself. But that being said, I gotta remind you guys, the show is available for you in a variety of ways. Now, we're known as a live show on the radio, and love our stations. We got great networks. We're syndicated with both Crawford Broadcasting and with Cumulus Broadcasting. You can find us on various AM and FMs all over North Alabama every single day, 2 to 5, live, just like we are right now. But then there's also the live stream, and right now the live stream is going. If you want to live stream this and watch the studio as we do it, that's on YouTube. You can find it on Rumble. You can find it on Twitter. So, check out Right Side Radio and all of those. Am I right in saying those are my sources, right?
Yep. And you got Twitch also.
Oh, and Twitch. I forget. See, that's why I've got you, man. I just want to push the little button and talk to somebody. All right. And then we got the podcast version. So Big Rig every single day takes the show and then like cleans up the audio, takes out all the advertisements, makes it into a clean podcast version, and sometimes even in smaller segments so you can get a piece of it, like an interview or something like that, and post it out there in podcast format, and all God's children can get it in various different podcast forms.
Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Spotify, everywhere you get podcasts.
Whoop, whoop. And we are like way past 200,000.
Oh, yeah.
And still cruising.
We're almost at 215,000 right
now. Shut up. Are we really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to say shut up. We don't allow that word in my house. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
But okay. But I'll take a time out now. But anyway, so the reality is, it's cruising and it's only getting better. And pretty soon we'll be announcing some new things that I look forward to telling you about like very soon. In the meantime, let me jump on back in here to a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Smell them cooking. All right. Speaking of smelling them cooking, Alabama was the home to Golden Flake. How many of y'all heard of Golden Flake? Everybody's heard of Golden Flake. If you've ever eaten a potato chip in the South, you ate. All right, I'll tell you what. What are some ubiquitous foods in the South? Golden Flake potato chips. Have you ever, I'm looking at Big Rig right now. Have you ever had Buffalo Rock Golden Ginger Ale?
No.
Oh, stop it. This is not right.
I've had Golden Flake. That was an old school, like wavy potato chip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, they had the flat ones. I mean, they're like super thin, crispy, flat. Anyway. Yeah. But anyway, Golden Flake. Golden Flake became a monolith in potato chip world. They were bought out in 2016. Golden Enterprises was the name of the major company that held it. But Utz Quality Foods bought them out for $141 million. Shoo! So $141 million. Well, just this week, it was announced that the original Golden Flake 5-building factory complex in Birmingham is being sold to a developer. A Chattanooga investment group called Second in Building Materials came in and for $6 million purchased the warehouse spacing and the additional 32 acres that goes along with it. I mean, it's a big complex, 36 acres actually. A 283,000 square foot warehouse building, 36.7 acres, all of which became operational in 1958. It's like a landmark in terms of, and I know right where it is, but a company called Southeastern Salvage, and we talked about this before the show. I think Southeastern Salvage is one of those where you can go buy reclaimed architectural pieces and things that are taken out of old buildings and houses. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Southeastern Salvage is going to take up a big chunk of that warehouse. They're already signing the lease. But the move to the Golden Flake property, it says, will allow Southeastern Salvage to double the size of its current store in addition to a 66,000 square foot outdoor garden and patio center. I can't wait. I love architectural salvage. I mean, one of my favorites is right over. It's owned by a state senator or a Garland Gudger over in Coleman. I love going over there and checking out their stuff. But that to me is a significant story. That's a piece of Alabama legacy right there, Golden Flake potato chips.
So it's going to be like a Walmart-sized like salvage yard?
I guess.
For home products?
It's going to be full of cool stuff.
Furniture. And
every corbel and antique door and piece of stained glass and architectural element is going to be all just stacked in there for people to come and peruse.
That might be interesting to check out.
That's a Saturday afternoon for me right there. Yeah. I love that kind of stuff. All right, listen, I thought you might want to know that. That happened right there in your backyard. I got a text from Cameron from Decatur. He says, I grew up on Buffalo Rock ginger ale. My dad would bring it home by the case. Also like IBC root beer. Yes. But yeah, Buffalo Rock golden ginger ale, man, it'll almost burn your nose. It's got so much ginger in there that when you drink it, I mean, I used to like have to drink it in small sips as a kid because it was like so strong. I felt like I was drinking like whiskey or something. But it was just part of the South, in my opinion. We could only get it at my granny's house in Birmingham when I was growing up. And it came in those little glass bottles. Buffalo Rock, golden ginger ale, golden flake potato chips, just all the goodness.
Good old days are gone, man.
That and a moon pie and some fried okra, and I'd be good all day long, man. All right, listen, we're going to come back here in a minute, and I'm going to remind you guys there was a piece of legislation making its way through the processes in the State House that would have raised your prescription rates by $10 plus per prescription. We're going to have a guy named Robin Stone calling in momentarily to give us an update. I think we got some good news. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.